Welcome to Only in Clark County, the show with a mission to share the stories of the people and places that make Clark County unique. I'm your host, Brandon Heinbigner, and I found it all too easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives and forget to get out and connect with our community. The purpose of this show is to encourage us all to do just that. Engage with the special people, local businesses, and local attractions that can only be found right here in Clark County, Washington. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Only in Clark County. Today, I'm here with Alisa Tatro, the owner of Most Everything Vintage right here in downtown Vancouver. Alisa is here to tell us about her store and the story behind it. Alisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here today.
Of course. I'm looking forward to hearing more about your backstory and how everything got started. First off, though, can you tell our listeners a bit more about your store and the mission behind Most Everything Vintage?
Sure. It's kind of changed over time as to what we are. We started out being just a little bit of everything, most everything, vintage, antiques, home decor, vinyl records, you name it, we pretty much had it. And then, so that was a little over 12 years ago. And then when we moved to our current location a year after that, we really discovered that it was vintage that people were wanting. And that was more of our passion anyway. So we decided to really hone in and be a lifestyle boutique for ladies and gentlemen. And so it's classic clothing, 1940s to 1960s, with a smattering of 70s, 80s, and 90s in there as well.
Okay, that's awesome. So you say 12 years ago. How many locations have you had, just those two then?
We actually had one additional one. We had branched off to do kind of separate. So we'd have funky retro rock and roll on one side, and then my side was the classics. And so we did that for about a year, year and a half.
So where is your current store located then?
We are located in downtown Vancouver, Washington, next to Compass Coffee. So we're right on Washington Street in the middle of the block.
Okay. And with that store, it has been a boutique the entire time. It's never stocked records or anything like the previous stores.
So when we first were into our current location, we did have vinyl records.
Okay.
We did have lots of the retro rock and roll pieces in there. And that was more my partner in business that really loved those things and was passionate about those things. So he was constantly out finding those things for the store. And so he no longer lives here, so it's just me who runs the store. So I'm more classic. So that's what my store is currently.
So one question I have is, how did you come to start Most Everything Vintage?
So that is a very long story and a long answer, but I'll try and summarize it up. So we were living out in Newburgh at the time. It was 2007-2008. The recession happened, and we had bought a 1901 farmhouse that we had gotten remodeled.
Oh, wow.
And we were then losing our house. So we just needed a fresh start. And so we decided to look at Vancouver. And I had gone to 2 one-hour-long interviews where I'd never been more certain in my life that I got the job. And I found out a day later that I didn't. And I was overqualified. People just weren't paying anything. And what I had done in the past is I would take businesses that were struggling and get them back on their feet. And I had a really great track record. So I thought, you know, I'm a great candidate for a management position. So after receiving news that I didn't get the job, it was that reminder of why am I continuing to do for others what I know to do for myself. And since we were losing our home and we had been collecting vintage and antique pieces, and that's a lot of what our home was, we were going to have to figure out what to do with those items. So that was our beginning inventory. We pretty much sold everything we owned to start the store.
That's incredible. When did you first discover that you had a passion for vintage?
Growing up, I grew up in a home. Basically, the best way to put it is my dad is MacGyver. He built our house. My mother is Caroline Ingalls and Martha Stewart, all in one. And so very resourceful, creative, make-it-yourself home. Sewing, knitting, crocheting, building, very resourceful. So I grew up in a home that had a lot of antiques and a lot of creativity. So I was always around it. And then Patrick and I had always loved, you know, going and just thrifting back when you could find true vintage and true antiques at a thrift store or at a Goodwill or a Salvation Army. And I mean, it would be the coolest stuff ever, but nobody's really into it. And so we just really loved, that was just our fun thing that we loved to go out and do. And I still have the first three dresses I ever bought, actually four, and those will stay in my collection. But yeah, just to see how everything was made, and it was made so much better. It was made to last, it had personality, it had style.
I would agree with that 100%. And I think some of the coolest clothes I own have been found in your store. Backtracking a bit, you mentioned the word collection. Do you have a collection of most everything vintage at your home, vintage stuff that you personally collect? Is it just clothes or is it?
It's a combination. So I have something, I call it my vault.
Okay.
So I have, I grew out of my closet. And so in this, I have a storage space down at the store where I would say I have about 50 to 75 pieces. And a lot of it is more like garments and jewelry and handbags and just beautiful pieces that I haven't been able to part with. And that's always the fun thing, is I can take it home, give it a spin out on the, you know, on the night and see how I like it and see how it feels. And then I can bring it down to the store, if, you know, if I think I should share with the world.
KXRW, Vancouver's only independent hyperlocal talk and music station, needs your help. Our online spring fund drive is happening May 1st to the 14th. Our volunteer-powered station relies on your donations for our operational costs that keep us sustainable and able to grow. So if you appreciate the values-driven reporting KXRW delivers, please consider becoming a monthly member or making a one-time tax-deductible donation today at kxrw.fm/donate. Thank you for supporting KXRW, your community radio station.
I don't know too much about the vintage clothing market, but I do know with vinyl and other things like that, you know, there's extremely rare pieces that are kind of you keep in your home, vaulted, museum pieces, if you will. Is it kind of the same way with vintage clothing, where there are these pieces that can go up and down in value, are extremely hard to find, where others can be found elsewhere?
It is, with vintage, it's getting harder and harder to find it. It's being either bought up, it's getting worn out, it's being turned into costumes, it's being discarded, and it, you know, it can only last so long if it's not being taken care of. So there are certain labels, and the longer that I've been in vintage, you see a label or you see a name and you know, okay, I'm going to hold on to this because I know it's going to go up in value. So it's my little 401k in fabric form or jewelry
sure.
form. But I've been able to pick up some really amazing pieces. And it was a bummer when COVID first happened. I didn't know how long we were going to be shut down. So I started pulling pieces from my vault and selling them. And oh, what I sold them for is a third, a quarter of yeah. what they're worth. But we just had to keep going. And so, yeah, there, I do have some regrets of things that I've sold I wish I would have held on to. But I can't hold on to everything.
I know. And I think that's how it goes. I too, not with vintage clothing, but when COVID hit, I had some other collectibles I sold off. And I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? Are there certain brands that consistently go up? You mentioned, you know, certain labels are more collectible than others.
One of my favorite designers is Lillian. And it basically, this gentleman created a line of clothes named after his wife. And he had traveled all over the world. And it was mainly during war eras that he went over to Europe. And to help keep these garment industries alive, he was having his pieces made. And he was based out of California. And so a lot of his coats during this time period, he would have different labels made that would be Lillian London and Lillian Paris. And so you knew where he was and where those things were being made. So things like that have a backstory really hold their value. So, you know, I used to be able to find a Lillian coat for $25 to $50. And now you're lucky if you can find one for, you know, $300 to $400.
Jeez.
But they're gorgeous. The details, everything, the fit is wonderful. The thing, I don't do much with designer, and a lot of that is because to have anything that's going to go up in value and hold its value, it needs to be pre-made in China. And a lot of the designer pieces currently are being made in China. So it can be maybe fabrics from France, Paris, Italy, but it's being made outside of the country.
Interesting.
So they aren't holding their value, and they're honestly just not being made as well as they used to be. So you really have to be able to identify what the decade, where it was made, to know that it's going to be worth buying and that it will go up in value.
Is Lillian stuff still being made, or have they ceased production?
Ceased production, so it's no longer made. It was more like 60s and 70s.
Oh, okay. A question I have to ask. What is your favorite piece you have currently in your collection?
Oh, my goodness. It's this handbag, and there's I should know what the label. I should have brought it. It's when we first opened the store, and we had no money whatsoever. Basically, with the store, I was working 2 days a week. Patrick would work 2 days a week. I'd drive to Newburgh, sleep on couches, and work four 10-hour shifts, and then drive home just to get the business going.
Man.
And we lived out of an office, 125-square-foot office for a year just to get that space going. And after the first year, I was able to go full-time. So in the midst of that, this older gal brings in this purse wondering if I would be interested in buying it. And I'm like, oh, I don't have the money to buy it, but it's so beautiful and I really want this purse. I remember paying $30 for it, which was just like, I just don't have the money. I mean, we were just scraping by to make it all happen. And later discovered as I brought it home that it's worth, you know, $800 to $1,000. And it's beautifully beaded with hand-painted Limoges, and there's a compact case that's all hand-embroidered with two ballerinas on it. There's a comb sheath that's all embroidered. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. Came in its original box, and I will never get rid of that purse.
That's incredible. So I just want to take a second to appreciate that you got an $800 to $1,000 purse for
$30.
I think that's incredible. And you had no idea what it was at the time?
Correct. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, and it's a lot of learning, too. I mean, I had a gal call me from Tacoma, and she's like, I have some Pendleton pieces that you might be interested in. I'm like, great. We love Pendleton pieces. And again, we didn't have a lot of money to spend. And I'm just learning. I mean, I never intended to open up a vintage or an antique store. So that wasn't what I was spending my time researching. So you just kind of learn as you go. So she goes, I have a Pendleton 49ers coat. And I go, well, we don't really do sports stuff. And she's like, no, it's a Pendleton 49er coat. And all I could think of was the football team,
right,
the 49ers. She's like, I'll just bring it. So she brought it down, and basically Pendleton designed in 1949 this certain style of coat that is highly sought after. They're amazing coats. And I felt like such a fool. And I call it my coat of humility. I still have that coat as well. In that we have to have grace towards one another, because I don't know everything. The people I'm working with don't know everything. So we all have an opportunity to just to learn and to teach and just go one piece at a time. But yeah, I still have my code of humility.
I think that's incredible. And what I'm gathering from all of this is, when collecting anything, it's important to collect stuff you like. And more importantly, stuff that means something to you. It doesn't have to be the most expensive thing out there. It just has to bring back the memories you want to remember when you look at it.
Well, it's really interesting that you say that. I'll be behind the counter, and I really only work behind the counter one day a week. I'm usually back sewing or bookkeeping or going out and finding treasures and doing these private estates. But when I am behind the counter, so often I'm like, oh, I love this piece. I love this piece. And I'm thinking about, oh, I better love this piece. I'm the one who bought it. And I need to represent, you know, I need to really love what I own. And I'm so glad that I have a store that I love everything in there.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. The Columbian is family-owned and operated by the Campbell family, guiding the award-winning news coverage and operations since 1920. Subscription options in the most thorough daily coverage of the local region, local sports, and national news, both in print and online, available at Columbian.com. Consider subscribing today. That's Columbian.com.
I'm curious, can you speak a little bit more toward how you acquire all these pieces?
Sure. So we do, the longer we're in business, the more people know about us. And it's just kind of this trickle effect where we are recommended. So a lot of times, and the majority, is private estates. So it's only us going in there. It's usually me and Jamie who go in. And we'll tag team, and Jamie works for me during the week, and so she knows, you know, exactly what our clientele is looking for and sizes and seasons. So we're the only ones there, but what I love about that is we get to know the stories behind the pieces. And I try as hard as I can to get photographs of the owner so that when people come in and they buy something and I know it came from that estate, I can show them a picture, I can give them a backstory. And then sometimes, rarely, we will have a picture of the person wearing that particular garment. And I love to put a side-by-side on Instagram. And when you buy it, you actually get the photograph with it as well.
Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it very common, and do you even allow this, for people to come in with vintage clothing and sell it to you there?
We do. Never fails that when somebody brings in pieces, that's when we get busy and that's when people walk in the door. And so we have a new policy where you just put, you can contact us and just say, hey, are you buying right now? Like right now, we're just finishing up inventory and I'm just trying to fix pieces that need to be fixed before we start buying again. So we'll start buying again probably mid-March. But we just have people put their name and phone number on it and just give us about 48 hours. It's easier for me to go through it at night when the doors are locked and nobody's there. And then we can just let people know, you know, this is what we can pay for it. We do have a lot of people that will just donate pieces, which I love because they just want to see it go to a good home. And a lot of times they need to be dry cleaned and fixed. And, you know, I have to put a lot of love into them. But that's also great, too, because that helps our bottom line. It's expensive to have a store. It's expensive to have a brick and mortar. And vintage is a challenge in a way that I only have one. You know, so I have to go find it. I have to wash it. I have to mend it. I have to iron it. I have to photograph it. I put it online. But I can never duplicate that again. And I have to do it all over again. So it costs a lot of time and labor to just photograph one piece.
I never considered all that. But, I mean, it stands to reason. I'm curious because you've been in this business for 12 years, you said. I'm curious your thoughts on how you've seen the industry change, because in those 12 years, things like Poshmark has come out, Macari's come out. Has that caused a resurgence, would you say, for vintage clothing, or have you noticed any other changes for the demand for vintage clothing?
What I have noticed, which is just in a completely different level, is when there were TV shows like Mad Men that came out, that was a long-running series, and you watched it every week. So the styles, the clothing, the hair, the barware, it really influenced fashion. It influenced home decor, furniture, cars, hairstyles, music. And that helped us because you had this TV show that people were loving every week. Well, now TV shows come out, the whole series, and everyone binge watches it. So there isn't any lasting impact on you as a person. You know, it's fun in that week that you're watching it, but then you're off to the next thing. And a lot of the TV shows and series that are out right now are more your 90s, 2000 shows. They aren't older TV shows. So that, like Downton Abbey is another great example. All of a sudden, there are so many Great Gatsby and Downton Abbey, because the movie came out at the same time, so many themed events that I have made over 1,000 headpieces. Actually, that's what I was doing this morning before I came here, because those had such a lasting power for fashion. And it was fun.
Interesting. So what would you say the majority of your customers come in the store looking for? Is it general wear because of these TV shows? Are they going to a costume party, mixture of both, something else?
I would say it's probably 50-50. I love to say that I have an audience that's 15 to 80.
Okay.
I have those that are coming in because they are going to a themed event. There's a lot more themed weddings going on now than there ever was before, themed birthday parties, just themed everything. So I try to be aware of what schools are doing what and, you know, who's doing what, so that I can be looking for pieces or make pieces that will help them fit in and have a fun night. So the other half of our clientele, actually, we're going to divide it into thirds. So a third costumes, a third people who just love to dress in classic clothes, clothes that are made with better quality, just classic style. And then I would say a third are people that are just traveling and touring, and they're just out having fun and looking for things. We, over the years, we have brought in more items. So, like, for example, who wants to wear old socks? Nobody. So we carry an incredible line of socks from Italy. They're 80% combed cotton. They're just fantastic. And then, you know, bath and body products. Who wants to wear old cologne? Nobody. You will stink. So we have found some great European bath and body product makers. So we have France and Italy, Australia, and we have a Michigan company. And then we have a new apothecary in Maine that we just started getting colognes from. So it's been fun to find that lifestyle boutique, those products that maybe you would like as someone who likes classic, but not in the true vintage form.
Sure.
So again, you know, we kind of going into those gift things, and it also helps at Christmas time. It's hard to buy vintage for somebody because it's so specific for size and color. Whereas a gift item can be beautifully wrapped up and most people love them.
KXRW, Vancouver's only independent hyper-local talk and music station, needs your help. Our online spring fun drive is happening now from May 1st to the 14th. Please consider becoming a monthly member or making a one-time donation today by going to kxrw.fm/donate or by texting KXRW to 44321. Thank you for supporting KXRW, your community radio station.
With everything you offer, how can people support your mission?
That is such a great question. I've really seen, you know, going, 2019 was incredible for all of our businesses downtown, and we were so excited for 2020. And then we all know what happened in 2020. The great thing that did happen in 2020 and 2021 was this focus on supporting local and supporting small business and your brick and mortars and keeping your communities alive. And it was that first Christmas season I'll never forget. I had so many people come in the door that I've never, ever seen in my life, just buying $5 or $10 or $15 items. And that all adds up at the end of the day. And I'm so thankful for that because that kept us going. And it was last year, the third and fourth quarter, that all of a sudden I started seeing a decline in people walking in, and hearing this from other business owners downtown as well, is that COVID's over and everyone's going back to kind of their old habits of the convenience. And I get it. It is convenient to order online and Amazon. But Christmas time, the amount of UPS, FedEx, and Amazon trucks that were circling the blocks for months, day in and day out, it was like, oh boy, okay, things are changing, and brick and mortar's changing. And if people don't go out there and support those brick and mortars, they can't stay. They can't keep it going. And yeah, for me, I know I need to pivot. And yes, we do, you know, eBay and Etsy and sell on Instagram, but I now have to really think outside the box and how can I put my store online? But again, that's so difficult with vintage because I just have one. So I have some ideas up my sleeve that this year I'll be able, or we'll have some products that would just be mine that are locally made, and those would come out fall and winter of this next year. But it's a challenge. It's really a challenge. So yeah, my encouragement to everyone out there is, wherever you live, whatever your budget, if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's $100, whatever it might be, just really love on your small businesses and just thank them for being there, because it's a lot of work and it costs a lot of money to have a brick and mortar.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with that more, and I really want to echo, Clark County is built with, by, and through small business owners. I mean, they literally are the backbone of this community. So that will be one mission for this episode. In the next week or coming weeks or whatever, try to stop into at least one local business that you haven't visited before. You know, maybe something that you drive by on your way to work, after work, whatever. Just stop by 15 minutes and check it out. I mean, there's so much more to life than online shopping.
Well, and it's fun. I mean, you get to see it in person, touch it, and pick it up. You don't have to worry about returning it if it didn't work.
Exactly, exactly. Unfortunately, we're at about time, but before we go, I really want people to know how they can connect with you, where they can find you online, the hours of your store, and again, the location.
Sure. So we're at 815 Washington Street, again, next to Compass Coffee. Our website is mosteverything.us. On Instagram, where we post 2 to 3 times a day, and you can put a 48-hour hold. We also ship through Instagram. Is most everything all one word, and you'll see an owl, because technically we're owl most everything. And my name is Alisa. And then on Facebook, we are Most Everything Vintage.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I highly recommend you check out Most Everything Vintage. It is an excellent store, and everything I've gotten from there is absolutely incredible. I'm a big 80s fan, and it can be tough to find that stuff, but Alisa always seems to have – she's finding it. So anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Alisa, thank you so much for being on the episode.
Oh, and thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure talking to you, learning your backstory. For everyone listening, again, check out Most Everything Vintage. It is 100% worth it. And besides Most Everything Vintage, try to visit a small business that you think is interesting that you haven't stopped into yet. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Only in Clark County.